Hello, everybody. This is the Monday Night Pod. Tyler Fenske. Tonight, we're going to be starting in Psalm 56, verse 1. It says, "Be merciful to me, O God, for men hotly pursue me. All day long, they press their attack. My slanderers pursue me all day long. Many are attacking me in their pride." Just a little bit of context behind this psalm in general. This is a psalm of David. It says it's when the Philistines had seized him in Gath, and we see this is a time in David's life where he finds himself at a detour.
Yeah, this is right out of 1 Samuel 21, and that's what we talked about tonight, just lessons out of this this detour that he has in Gath, right? Mm-hmm. And really, when you're talking about this, it's, you know, he's been anointed king over Israel, but there's going to be this process before he's actually appointed, right? And we, you know, everybody out there, I'm sure you've had situations where, you know, you've ended up in a place you didn't expect, or in a place you didn't anticipate, mm-hmm. right? You know, and what is God teaching you through that, right? When he takes you on just that unexpected path, takes you to an unexpected place, right? Kind of takes you off where you thought that you would be, or where you thought you would be, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where David is right now, because he's, as it says here in 1 Samuel 21:10, David's fleeing from Saul, and he goes to Achish, king of Gath, right? We talked about that tonight, that when you know, God puts you on a detour, we use the examples of, you know, Moses was literally 40 years, you know, with the Midianites. Got married, had kids, everything. He had like a whole life there, 40 years with the Midianites before God called him back to Egypt.
Yeah.
Right? A 40-year detour. Joseph, right, is given these dreams where he's shown that he is going to rule over his brothers, and in these just prophetic dreams. And it's then from the age of 17 to what, 30?
Yeah.
So 13-year detour where he's sold as a slave to Egypt, and then he's in prison, right? And now you see David with this, where he's now in this detour in Gath. And we talked about that the focus should be, you know, believe his word while you're waiting on his work.
Mm-hmm.
Believe his word while you're waiting on his work. I was trying to underline tonight just the importance of starting with a vision.
Yeah.
You know, without vision, the people perish. And it's like just understanding what God has called you to do. That's step one. Like what is my purpose? You know, because having that vision, that's what's going to help to keep you persevering through the difficulties when you can't see it right away.
Mm-hmm. It's what gives you hope.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's what helps you see the light at the end of the tunnel. And just a little backstory, there's a kid who asked a great question tonight at the end of the teaching, you know, how do I find my vision? You know, and it's a pertinent topic to everybody, because, you know, whether that's when you're 18 and, you know, there's a natural pivot in life, or 22 and there's a natural pivot of life, or 30, or, mm-hmm. you know, even when you're 60, 70, you know, 80, if you have the strength, right? There's going to be pivots in life and detours in life. You know, we see David having one here. Every single one of us is going to experience one at some point in another, oftentimes multiple, right? And so how do I get that vision? It's a great question. The Spirit will guide you. Right. And that's the important point tonight. This applies to you, applies to me, it applies to everybody. Constantly asking the Spirit of God, what do you have for me? Where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? And the Lord will reveal that one way or another. Right. How does the Lord reveal to David what his vision, what his purpose is for him? He literally sends Samuel out to go find him and tell him, this is what you're called to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's the vision, obviously, that keeps him getting through all these troubles and adversities that he goes through in preparation for it. So before we continue, I just wanted to highlight that point is the vision, knowing what the Lord has for you is so important, because, yeah, it gives you hope. It's that light at the end of the tunnel that helps you persevere. It also helps you take action in, like we're about to get into, in aligning yourself for that to come to pass.
Yeah. Yeah, you made some good points tonight at the end of the teaching, where you also mentioned just, you know, if it's not the thing, it's the thing that leads to the thing.
Yeah. Also known as preparation.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, like the thing that leads to the thing, it's like, you know, because what God calls you to at 30 might be different than what God is calling you at 40.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, the thing that leads to the thing, this isn't in any of my notes, but it's like, that is, I think, is very much how God works, where it's like, you know, he's putting you, you know, close to that ultimate just purpose or destiny, but you're not there yet.
Yeah.
You know, but you're in a, you're, you know, maybe close to it, right? Where you're learning a lot in that stage, and you know, that's the thing that's then going to launch you into the thing that it's supposed to be.
And it can be a tough thing, because I think oftentimes, and I don't know if it's just because we're in America, oftentimes we want to be like the LeBron James who just gets to go to the NBA at 18, you know,
yeah.
And probably could have gone to the NBA at 15 or 16, you know.
Right.
We all think we're that, or we should be that, or we deserve to be that. There's usually a process, and the process usually takes longer than you thought it would. It usually takes more of you than you thought it would.
Yeah.
To get there and to truly flourish in it. And it's only looking back that you can accept that and be thankful for that. But like you said, more often than not, it's Moses 40 years with the Midianites, and then 40 years in the desert. It's Joseph 13 years in prison and slavery. 13 years.
Yeah.
13 years in prison and slavery before he walks into his purpose. David on the run for years before he goes from anointed to appointed, right? There's that process, but like we're about to get into, there's a reason behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, what we talked about is, you know, so believing in, you know, believing his word while you're waiting on his work. We talked about, you know, his work that's on you and on the circumstances. You know, so God is working on you, and he's also working on the circumstances. And when both of those are ready, then that's going to come together in God's perfect timing, right? And now you're ready to actually step into things, right? We talked about just in, you know, God working on you. You know, the point I made tonight was that, you know, you're going to have to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to mature.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to get into alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And I said tonight, you know, thoughts, actions, and energy and alignment. You know, one of the kids had a question about that. He's like, what do you mean by, you know, energy? You know, and I explained to him, you know, I see that as like, okay, here's why I'm directing my efforts, you know, in a given day, right?
Yeah.
I'm building towards that better version of myself, right? I'm, you know, I have enough personal pride to say, all right, I'm going to take the time necessary and just in terms of personal development, becoming the best version of myself, right? Starting with the spiritual, right? Because I'm nothing without the Lord. Without me, you can do nothing, right? But taking that time to just develop your, you know, yourself, right? Directing your energy towards, you know, your purpose and putting that into then action and then your thoughts too. You know, it's like, you know, you talked about that on the pod just a week ago, right? Just directing your thoughts, but putting that all together and growing yourself into that better version of you, where God's going to work on you, right? And that's why, you know, when you have those difficulties in life, it's the question is not, you know, you should not ask yourself, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
You should ask, what is God teaching me through this?
Yeah.
Because getting the answer to that, that's the key, because there has to be that work on you.
Absolutely.
Right, along with the circumstances, but, you know, you have to get into alignment.
And that's where the breakthrough comes from. So the verse that comes to mind for me is, I thought like a child. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things aside. This isn't my quote, but I heard a really good quote. It says, children do whatever feels good in the moment, but men devise a plan and follow it.
Yeah, and execute it, yeah.
And execute it, right? And so the willingness to, like you said, thoughts, actions, everything, actually being intentional about that and becoming what the Lord is requiring you to become, who the Lord is requiring you to become, to act as if so that you can become what you're supposed to be, right? Right. It's intentional, but when you have the Lord working everything for you, because that's the circumstantial part, mm-hmm. you're doing the work on yourself, and obviously the Lord's helping you renew your mind and become.
Lord's working on you. Yeah.
Working on you big time, right? Oftentimes through the circumstances, but as he's working the circumstances together, that's like the tailwind, right? To where all of a sudden, once it's ready and he says go, you can run, right? And it can go, and you experience what we call blessing.
Suddenly, as the word would say.
Right? So
suddenly,
right? In my head, that's how that all works and comes together.
I think the hardest part about that, looking back on my life, is when you are immature and not ready, you're often not aware that you're immature and not ready.
Yeah.
Because you think you're ready.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can, you know, think on the level, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're not quite there in terms of your just preparation and, you know, everything that needs to come together for you to be successful. You know, then when you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, I was not ready at all. And I'm so thankful that I went through, you know, X, Y, and Z
mm-hmm.
before. But you only see that in hindsight. So you have to be humble enough. Humble's the right word. You have to be humble enough to understand that God is taking you through a process for a reason mm-hmm. and getting you ready for this as he readies the circumstances as well.
It's a hard thing because oftentimes you recognize the seed that's in you.
Mm.
Like, you are correct that you do have it in you to handle it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're not wrong. You're just wrong in the moment, right?
Yeah.
The seed's there, but it hasn't fully developed, mm-hmm. right? It hasn't fully produced where the crop is supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
In season, right? Yeah. And so that is a hard part, but like you said, it takes that humility to believe his word, keep the faith, keep hope alive, and wait, be patient and persevere so that his work may be complete.
Yeah, and that was the first point tonight, is just that detour. You know, what to do when you're in that, believe his word while you're waiting on his work. The second thing that we went over tonight was just this aspect of the song, okay? So it says, but the servants of Achish said to him, this is verse 11, isn't this David, the king of the land? Now, we do want to stop there because we promised tonight that we would go over this on the pod for everybody. So that's Exodus 2:14, right? if you flip back in your Bible to Exodus 2:14, you see the exact thing being said to Moses, where, you know, he sees the two Hebrews fighting, right? And he goes out there and says, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? The man said, Exodus 2:14, who made you ruler and judge over us?
Mm.
The Lord,
yeah.
Right? The Lord did, right? But his prophecy is in the mouth of his enemies.
Yeah.
You know, you see the same thing here with David. His enemies are speaking his prophecy. Isn't this David, the king of the land?
Yeah.
Well, not yet, but he will be.
They could see it.
You know? And there's a valuable point in there because you can often learn a lot about yourself from your enemies, you know? And I would say that's been true in my life where, you know, you get people talking about you and it's like, why do you even care about me that much? Why am I that important that you would even focus on me? And, you know, this is such a big area of concern for you. And it teaches you a little more about yourself, right? How they are perceiving you and how they are talking about you is helping to teach you into who you really are.
Yeah.
Right? As they said to Moses in Exodus 2, as they're saying to David right here,
mm-hmm.
right? And they reference this song. They say, isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Now This evidently was this chorus line of this song that had gone viral. This was after he had killed Goliath. If you flip back a couple pages in your Bible, so 1 Samuel 18, he kills Goliath, okay? And it says that then the women had, from all the towns of Israel, This is 1 Samuel 18, 6 and 7. And they had sung this song, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Verse 8, Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. So this song, okay, was something that started the whole sequence with Saul. This was a catalyst in the friction between Saul and David. So if you're David, you already are like this song, right? Now he's on the run, and he's in the land of the Philistines, right? Running from Saul, his enemies. And they know the song, and this is what they're bringing up here, right? And it says, David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So this song in 1 Samuel 18, and then once again here in 1 Samuel 21, seems like just the worst thing for him. And if you're David, you're like, oh my gosh. Well, if you flip forward then to 1 Samuel 29, this song comes up again. But this is where the Philistines have gathered their forces to fight Israel. David at this time now has been in the land of the Philistines for a year and 4 months. Okay, so the Philistines gather their forces to fight Israel, and David is marching out with them to go fight Israel. So this is a really sticky situation for David. In my opinion, this is the most difficult point of his life, because this could really be a problem, right? He's been living with the Philistines now for a year and 4 months, and now he's going up with them to fight Israel. How is he going to get out of this? Well, verse 5 here of 1 Samuel 29, the Philistine commanders then say to Achish, isn't this the David they sang about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands? So that's they reference the song as sealing as to why David should go back to the place assigned for him, Ziklag, and that gets him out of, I think, just the stickiest situation of his whole life. So it goes from this song being a problem, to it flips for him into an absolute blessing.
Absolutely.
And that's why you can't ever look at circumstances and be angry or bitter over circumstances, because God could be working them out in a way as a blessing way beyond anything that you could ever imagine. And according to Romans 8, to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, that is what he's doing.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this and you're not saved and you're not walking with the Lord, then yes, circumstances in your life could go any direction. They could be good, they could be bad. The ones that look bad probably are bad.
Yeah.
But if you're saved, the Lord is working out for your good, and that's why you can't ever get angry or bitter over circumstances.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, God can use anything. And the verse that comes to mind for me, this is a popular one, in Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I think we see this here for David with this psalm, because if you're in the moment in your David, you're like, gosh, this psalm, like you said,
it's killing me.
It's working against me. Like, what good can come of this? The Lord can make good out of anything. The Lord can do anything with anything. And you just have to be patient. This is back to the aspect of humility that we were just talking about. Humble enough to realize you only know what you know.
Right.
And the Lord's working something way bigger than
way
you.
Bigger. Uh-huh.
Into fruition, right?
Way beyond.
And so if you can just have the humility not to lean on your own understanding, but with all of your heart acknowledging God and just giving it to him, trusting him with everything, all of a sudden you walk that out in integrity. It's like, okay, you get to see 1 Samuel 29, where this breaks you out of the biggest catch-22 of your life.
Yeah.
The worst situation of I can't win no matter what, and the stakes are as high as they possibly could be. That's how the Lord works.
Mm-hmm.
He can work anything for you, get you out. That's the Lord. But you have to have that patience and that humility and that full trust in him in order to let him to get out of the way, to get out of your own way, and for all those things to come and actually work for you, as you referenced from Romans.
Yeah. Yeah, really good points there. So, you know, you see how this song then ultimately flips for him, right? And it says, though, that in right, so in this situation, they reference the song. He takes these words to heart. He was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. Then this was our final point tonight. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Whatever it takes, right? He's literally clawing this door in order to get out of this situation.
Yeah.
The point I made tonight is that David, if you look at 1 Samuel 16, right, even his own brothers looked more qualified than him. Samuel,
yeah.
Right? Samuel thought it was his brothers, not him. Yeah. Right? But Acts 13 makes clear that David was selected for his character.
Yeah.
Right? And it was his character that was ultimately gonna elevate him. And that's what I see in the, in this verse 13, that he was, no matter what, he was going to do what it took to just bring about the will of God in his life.
Yeah.
Right? He was not 1 foot in and 1 foot out. He was not half-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
He was all in,
yeah,
on the calling that God had put over his life.
Yeah, you have to be all in because it'll take all of you. And the point that I get from what you said is your character will carry you. Mm-hmm. This comes from James 1. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." When I read that, that to me is the definition of character, right? Want to build your character? You got to build your character. How are you going to build your character? You got to go through stuff, and you got to throw your whole self at it, right? And I think that, you know, this situation that David went through, the circumstance, revealed his character. Any circumstance that you go through, in one way or another, is revealing who you really are. And if you're humble enough and you're aware enough and you have a quiet time, it'll show you to yourself what you are and what's in you and what you're capable of, and either where your strengths are, where, this is working. I continue to improve, but, you know, we're developing. The humble person will realize this is where I'm weak and this is where I'm lacking. And why aren't I having the breakthrough? Why haven't I arrived yet? That's the reason, right? I still need to be complete. I'm still lacking a few things. And it takes that kind of humility, one, to look at yourself, but two, to trust the Lord and let your character be built over time.
Yeah. Yeah, I see this as just a, you know, really powerful example of just, you know, being all in on your purpose. But I see that.
Not to take away from that, yeah.
I see that there's, and according to the research, this is a generational thing. So you're not imagining it. Okay, but that's a topic for another day as to why this is. But the current generation does quit more and give up easier than prior generations.
Mm-hmm.
And there are reasons for that, just culturally going on in the society. You can read the book, The Anxiety Generation, and it goes into depth on why, quitting and giving up easier is more of a thing now. But you referenced the whole, we all want to be LeBron and AT in the NBA. And that just impatience and entitlement is killing a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Where they just, they don't understand that if you're going to be great in anything, it's going to cost,
mm-hmm,
right? And if you're going to do something good in life, it's going to take a big effort.
Yeah.
If you're going to do something great in life, it's going to take the biggest effort of your life.
Yeah.
Right? And David stands out with the character of, you referenced just the aspect of perseverance. We wrapped up tonight with looking at Psalm 78.
Mm-hmm.
Right, in talking about David's character and why he was selected over other people. Right, and it says in Psalm 78, he chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. Right? Matthew 25, 21, you've been faithful with a few things, I will put you in charge of many things. Right? And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. Right? The sequence in Gath here, right? This detour in Gath, right? He's on a big detour period. And then here's this, you know, which, you know, was eventually the right move for him. It just wasn't the right exact time, mm-hmm. right? Because eventually he ends up back there outside of Gath in Ziklag. He's there for a year and 4 months. And that was a good thing for him, right? Which is a top for another time. But, you know, at this time in Gath, right, they seize him in Gath. 1 Chronicles 18, he ultimately comes back after he's been crowned king and victories over the Philistines, says he subdued them and he conquers Gath.
Yeah.
Right? So the very city that he's driven out of in fear here and has to escape from, he comes back and conquers. Right? When everything, like we started off talking about tonight, when everything is put together, that the work on him, the work that God was doing on David to bring him into who he was meant to be, right? The best version of him, then came together with the circumstances, right, that God had been working on here, right? Putting the right people around him, right? Removing people, right? All the above and putting that all together, right? And now he steps into his purpose.
And it comes full circle.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and it's, we didn't mention this in the teaching tonight, but there's another psalm. If you go back to Psalm 34, which we taught on, how long ago would that be now at the Bible study? A year?
I don't know, right? If I want to know.
Our fast pace in the Psalms, but Psalm 34, right? Also talking about when he was in Gath, right? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be in my mouth continuously. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Right? So even at just the worst point in his life, right? This is even before he gets in the cave of Adullam. Right? He's still giving thanks to God throughout this. You know, and that is another just demonstration of his character through this. And that's why God selected him, was his character.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was his special ability. That was his weapon.
Yeah.
Was his character. Right?
Yeah, your character will carry you. No, David's a great example of that. Again, we're all going to go through detours in life. It's important to have that vision. Mm-hmm. It's important to, you know, find that vision. And once you have it, just know that, you know, just because it might not come tomorrow, you know, I think of Moses, and it's like he's given the word by the Lord to go confront Pharaoh and tell him to release my people. A small, immature brain thinks, oh, I'm going to go in, I'm going to tell him, you know, God said, so he's just going to do it. No, it might not happen like you think it's going to happen. It might not be as easy as you think, right? There's going to be a process more often than not.
Be willing to make some marks on the door. Like David did, right?
Exactly.
They want to claw at the door.
Do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be king? You better be willing to go on the run. You want to be king? You better be willing to act crazy. You want to be king? Like Fenske said, you better be willing to make some marks on the door. And, you know, have that faith, have that character, you know, have that humility to be built up by the Lord while having the faith and the trust and the hope that he's working everything together. You know,
if
you just walk that out faithfully day after day, you know, you will see God arise. So that's, you know, David going through everything at Gath, Psalm 56. This is the Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fenske.